Holy Spirit in the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. It's sad that today, when you mention the Holy Spirit, many people conjure up an idea of the charismatic movement. People who speak in tongues. People who say that they're prophets. And we got a lot of people today claiming new revelation, words of knowledge, prophecies about the future, exercise of special gifts of wisdom and knowledge. In spite of all of what you hear, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And you have it in your lap tonight. The Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit has given us so complete a revelation in the Holy Scriptures that the work that He does now is illumination upon the inspiration. In other words, all of Scripture has been given by inspiration of God. It is all right in here. God does not inspire men in any new way. All we need now is the illumination, the enlightenment, the teaching of the Holy Spirit. I fear that the Bible today has become a dead letter to so many people and goes all through denominations who have really just derided what's in the Scriptures and laid it aside for their feelings, their emotions, their opinions. But we have the Word of God. And we must believe what God has inspired. The Bible is the greatest work of the Spirit in revelation. And it's superior to the traditions of men. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 in verses 6 through 9, He told them, He condemned them for exalting the traditions of men over the commandments of God. The Word of God supersedes man's traditions. Man's traditions, you can see them all through false religion. Infant baptism, sprinkling, the idea that the Pope of Rome is the vicar of Christ. Those are all traditions that have been handed down by religious authorities that have no authority in the Holy Scriptures. God's Word is above tradition and science. So, wait a minute. Oh, preacher, you're not going to say that God's Word supersedes science. Absolutely. We have science today, scientists, the experts who say that there's no such thing as intelligent design. That everything came about by random chance over billions of years. And the sad fact is, in the last 150 years, you have an overwhelming majority of the population of the world that believes that rot gut. Because they've exalted scientific experts over "thus saith the Lord." I'm here to tell you, I'm going to go with the Word of God rather than science, falsely so-called. fables. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4 talks about the importance of exalting the Scripture, the Word of God. Preach the Word. Because in the last days, what's going to happen? They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, unto stories, and unto entertainment. The Book of Mormon gives us an example of modern fables. The occult. People rely today on astrology, on the idea of luck, on all kinds of things other than the Word of God. And the Bible says in Isaiah, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You go to the Word of God to know what's coming in the future. You don't go to a fortune teller. You don't go to somebody who is involved in demonic activity. You got people today that all over say that they have the ability. You see all the signs that are accompanying our ministry, all the words of knowledge we're pronouncing, all the healings, all the signs. And God's Word makes it clear that we are to stay true to His Word. And you know how the Antichrist is going to come. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The wicked, that's what the Antichrist is called, the man of sin, he's going to come with lying signs and wonders. And people are going to believe and fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. They're already being prepared for it because they have turned away from the Word of God. False prophets. They're all over. One of the fastest growing religions in the world is led by one of the most wicked liars and perverts the world has ever known, Muhammad. Islam is a religion built on falsehood. And it's been established by a false prophet. So many people have exalted when it comes to their opinion. Well, I just believe. Or my granddad believed. Or I don't care what you say, I still believe. You know what? Your feelings, your beliefs, if they don't match up with the Word of God, you're wrong. No matter how many traditions you may have in your family, the Word of God must remain our sole standard because it's the book that God has inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You can't go by feelings and emotions. You've got to go by what thus saith the Lord. Now, the work of God's Spirit and inspiration may be summed up by stating that we believe in the verbal, plenary inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. And we're going to expand on that sentence the remainder of our study tonight. Now, in 2 Timothy 3:16, that's commonly where we go to when we talk about the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. And it's there that we find that the Bible is an inspired book. The word inspiration is a translation of the Greek word theopneustic, and it literally means God breathed. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, we find that men were moved by the Spirit of God, like wind moves a boat. It directed men. The Spirit of God led men. Whether various portions of God's Word were given by dictation, as in the moral law, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, where God gave the law to Moses by dictation, or by vision, Revelation 1:11, where John, the beloved, it was revealed to him, the things that were to come, or whether it be inner guidance, as in Luke chapter 1 in verses 1 through 3. Let's read that. I didn't memorize that. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. God's word has been inspired. Inspiration must never be understood as a mere sharpening of the human intellect. Inspiration ensures that every single word of the Holy Scriptures represents the mind of the Spirit, exactly what the Spirit determined for those men to write. It's proved by statements in the Word itself. Turn over to, and I think we've covered this before, but let's go back to Samuel chapter, or 2 Samuel chapter 23. In verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. Notice this language. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 9. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See that? God inspired Jeremiah, put His words in his mouth. Some of the prophets had to study their own writings to gain understanding of what they had written. And the emphasis of the word inspiration is that the Scriptures came from God. They came from God. Now, many people talk of inspired men, but it's the Bible and not human authors that is inspired. Inspiration simply means God breathed. God put His words in the mouth, in the pen of men who wrote it down. Now, verbal inspiration. When the term verbal is used, it's in connection with inspiration. It implies that the very words, plural, of Scripture are inspired. To teach that the Bible writers were merely assisted by God, or that their doctrines alone were inspired, is to fall short of the doctrine of inspiration. The proofs of verbal inspiration are all through the Bible. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Now this is set in a familiar passage, but I want you to notice carefully that the Spirit inspires words. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." He received, Paul is saying these words come directly from God. He's the one that teaches us. He's the one that's inspired us to write these epistles. Our Lord taught that every jot and tittle was certain. In Matthew 5 and verse 18, David said that the Lord's words were pure and would be preserved forever. In Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Others testified that the inspiration they received was verbal, God speaking to them. We already saw that in 2 Samuel chapter 23, Jeremiah 1:9. Paul believed that every word of Scripture was inspired, and he built his doctrines on the letter of the Scripture. So verbal inspiration. The very words are inspired of God. Then the next phrase, verbal plenary inspiration. You've heard that before, right? The word plenary simply means full. And it means that all of the Bible is inspired. Remember how I used to get all, when I'd read, I don't get the paper anymore, but the Herald Dispatch used to run an article by old Milt Hankins, the liberal preacher. And he would make statements like that the Bible does contain the Word of God, but the Bible, is, not all of it is the Word of God. And in essence, what old Milt believed is what a lot of people believe, that there may be portions of the Bible that are inspired, but only the elite with special training know exactly which portions. For example, old Milt knew that there was no way that Genesis 1 through 10 was inspired by God. That was just a story told by men that wasn't really the true account of how the world came into being. That just was a nice story. I say old Milt is a liar. And the Word of God, all of it, the fullness of Scripture, is inspired of God. The Bible does not contain God's Word in places. It is God's Word in its entirety. And it's stated so plainly, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The verbal plenary inspiration of God's Word is upheld by our Lord and His apostles. Look over at Luke chapter 24 in verse 27. Jesus believed in the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. And he was talking about all that the prophets. In verse 25, "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? Now notice what Jesus said. What it says about Jesus, explaining. "And beginning at Moses," that's the first five books of the Bible, "and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus believed in the entirety of Scripture, all the Word of God being inspired. He quoted books during his earthly ministry. He quoted, for example, the book of Jonah when he wanted to illustrate the power of his resurrection, that he would be in the tomb for 3 days and raise again from the dead. He used he believed not only that Jonah was inspired to write that book and that he was a prophet of God, he literally believed in the account of Jonah, that he was swallowed by a great fish, and that he preached to Nineveh. Jesus Christ regarded that as authentic and inspired truth. The Lord also quoted the book of Daniel. The reason why I bring those two books up, critics today want to attack Jonah and Daniel as being inauthentic. When you say something like that, then you're saying that Jesus Christ, there's no way he could be the truth. If he quoted books that were fallacious and uninspired. The Apostle Paul quotes both Moses and Luke being of equal authority. I just saw this today. Turn over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 18. For the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. I thought this was all one verse he was quoting, and it's not. That's found in Deuteronomy 25:4. But then Paul quotes the writings of Luke. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. Luke chapter 10 and verse 7. In one verse of Scripture, Paul the Apostle is saying that the writing of Moses was inspired of God, and that which was written by Luke is likewise inspired by God. He calls both the Scripture. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 16, and also chapter 4, verse 24, the book of Psalms. If you want to turn over there, Acts chapter 1. In verse 16, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. The Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. He's talking about the prophecy in Psalms. Look over at chapter 4 and verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? While they're praying and saying that the Scripture is being fulfilled. They regarded the book of Psalms as God's word. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verses 15 and 16. Peter is saying that the epistles of Paul are inspired by God. He regarded Paul's writings as Scripture. Verse 15, an account of the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures. Notice, he is recognizing Paul's writings as Scripture to their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Peter viewed Paul's epistles as Scripture. The early church knew nothing of degrees of inspiration or uninspired portions of the Bible. All was believed to be God-breathed. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Verbal, given by God, God-breathed, God moving, directing, inspiring men to write exactly what his mind was to in Revelation, what we are to know about God, inspired by him directly. Now, inspiration is limited. As important as it is to prove the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture, it's equally important to assert that only Scripture is inspired. To extend inspiration beyond the Bible in this day is to actually undermine God's Word as a complete revelation. We're warned not to add to God's Word. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18, the claims of every modern prophet stand as an attack on the Word of God. You think about that. All these people claiming to have new revelations or special words of knowledge. I mean, good night. Pat Robertson has made a living declaring things for ages. He's a false prophet. When you understand that the Holy Spirit has completed his work in inspiration and is now involved in opening hearts to understand the Scripture, you'll see how important this doctrine, even though we just scratched the surface of verbal plenary inspiration tonight, being solely by the Spirit as he moved men to write, it's so vital. You got to have an authority that comes directly from God. Without it, people are going to believe fairy tales. And it's why I refuse to believe the claims of people that say the world's going to end in 12 years unless we give all our money to a centralized government so that they can solve the problem. That's insanity. I look at the Word of God, I read Psalm 104, and I recognize that God is in control of all the climate, all the weather, all the patterns. Every drop of rain comes from God's hand. Every hurricane, God sends it. And He does it. He does all things well. He has a purpose in everything He does. I was thinking about this today when I was exercising. It really comes right down to this. You either believe what the experts say, or you believe what God's Word says. I tell you, they will rail on people like, well, you, What do you know? You live on Buffalo Creek Road. You don't know nothing about science. You don't know nothing about the climate. I do know this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. And I trust Him. I believe God. And I'm going to rest in His Word rather than the words of men. If you believe this book, you'll never pay a minute's attention to a woman preacher who says that she's been called of God to preach. That she's lying. I don't care how sincere she may be, how attractive she may be, how much better of a speaker she is than preachers are today. It's an impossibility if you believe in the authority of Scripture. If you believe 1 Corinthians 14. Women aren't supposed to speak in the church. You're going to have a hard time preaching. Say, oh, but preacher, those doctrines, people don't like that in this day of diversity and multiculturalism. Maybe not. But I'm going to stick by what the authority of the Scriptures say. It's sad to see so many people denying this holy book its rightful place. Because if people would actually just come to it and believe it, it would change their lives forever.
All right, let's go to the Lord's Prayer tonight.